Hey everybody, welcome back to I've Got a Bad Feeling About This, your semi-weekly, I guess, podcast about Star Wars and all things in the Star Wars universe. Thank you so much for listening. We're so happy to have you here. We're talking about, probably the best Star Wars movie of all time, The Phantom Menace.
Huh?
This was a struggle to get through, fellas. I will not lie to you. Took me 3 days to watch it, and I skipped some parts because of how bad they were. And if I was an honest movie reviewer, I would get fired because I did not give it the time of day you should if you want to give a an impartial view of a movie. I think we can all agree this isn't the greatest Star Wars film. It is the basis of everything that we have nowadays in terms of story chronology, but it's not the OG film. And it's honestly kind of just one big meme. So there's a lot of issues with this movie, and we can talk about those. Let's start off with the positives, baby. Who is everybody's favorite character in this wonderful, wonderful film? Omari, I'll start with you.
See, it was hard for me to answer this question because I think of the characters as I know them now. Right? So it's like, okay, Maul, badass, right? No, not in this movie. In the Clone Wars, without a doubt. In the Rebels, without a doubt. In this movie, Jar Jar Binks? Actually, annoying in all forms of Star Wars. Annoying in all forms of Star Wars. Obi-Wan Kenobi? Still pretty cool.
And the interesting thing about Obi-Wan in this film, we see him at his youngest, of course, as far as we have received media so far. We do see him at his youngest point, which is good, because, I mean, if he was... which is good for storyline, because it starts with a character that we're all familiar with, Obi-Wan, and it kind of builds on his persona that we're already kind of in tune with. He's a very important character in the original trilogy, of course. And you kind of start to get to see him... We see how this film's going to go. We see that this is established characters that we're going to see grow. And I know that in the 90s, when this movie was being advertised, it was advertised as such. Man, I really just did that podcast thing where I took way longer to say something than I should have. Which is fine, because it's a podcast. But anyways, I just think that it's interesting that these characters are established in the original trilogy, and in the prequel trilogy we get to see at their beginnings. But Obi-Wan in particular, I think, is the most interesting character to me, arc-wise, because we see him as this old wise wizard in episode 4, 5, and 6. And in this one, he's kind of a young, cocky, sassy Padawan who isn't exactly what you'd expect out of Obi-Wan if you're going into this movie blind, having not seen trailers for it, having not seen advertisements for it. So you kind of get this fresh new take on Obi-Wan that is really interesting. But yeah, then there's characters like Maul, who it's the first time we've seen them ever in any piece of media. And he's just not really anything. So characters are pretty interesting. My favorite character in the movie was Obi-Wan, for all the reasons I just said. Chuck?
After you've taken some lovely time to talk about your answer, I kind of brought some things up that I didn't really think about when I first thought about your question there. I picked Qui-Gon Jinn, yeah, okay, just making sure. It's interesting that he just seems, like, when I first remember, I don't remember when I first saw the movie, honestly, but I never really, Qui-Gon was never somebody that was, like, overly, oh, he's really cool, you know, he's just kind of like, okay, he's here for, I don't know how long, and he's kind of gone, but he has, like, him sort of recognizing or seeing what he did in Anakin has such a big impact on the entire universe as a whole. So that, I mean, in a way, he kind of said everything. It's like a really big domino effect. But he played such a big role in so many of our, like on Obi-Wan, obviously, in Anakin, he played such a big role on our protagonists' lives. I just thought that was cool, just how he had such a big impact, going forward in this lovely Star Wars universe.
And interesting things about Qui-Gon, of course. He sadly passes away at the climax of this film. Not the climax. I would say it is like the ending of the movie. But he's the first Jedi, I believe, canonically to become a Force ghost, which is a plot device used multiple times throughout the rest of the series as well. And let's so now that we've gotten best character out of the way. Obviously, there are some sincere issues with this movie, not even within the Star Wars universe, but within our how we view filmmaking, how we view political correctness, I'd say as well. And I think we all agree that the worst character was Jar Jar Binks. Again.
Actually,
Oh, really?
yeah, I'm gonna be that guy. I'm gonna be that guy. I am gonna be that guy. I
Okay.
don't think Jar Jar is as bad as we like to say he is. I'm gonna say it. He's
In
not that bad.
interesting.
He's not. Like rewatching the film, like I remember watching it when I was younger, and I was like, okay, he's funny. And then watching it again when when The Force Awakens comes out, and I was like, okay, he's kind of annoying. But watching it again this time, I'm like, you know what? He's not that bad. He's really
Right.
not. He's like kind of funny and kind of enjoyable at times, you know? He's kind of like the Claptrap of Star Wars, if anyone gets that reference. I genuinely don't hate him. I was like, I kind of like Jar Jar.
But then
Misa
who
makes
would
me
you pose that
smile.
the weakest character is?
I feel like there's no weak character. It's a weak film, but I feel like there's no weak character.
So you're saying that the whole film is so weak that all the characters are also super weak, thus for making them like excusably weak?
Yes. That's
Okay.
exactly what I'm saying. Misa agrees. I'm stuck.
Okay. That's an interesting take. Well, it's an interesting take just because I feel like there are definitely stronger characters. Like, I think Obi-Wan is a pretty decent character in episode one.
No, there's
And that's
definitely
because
better
you.
characters than Jar Jar, I think, but I just don't think he's as bad as the whole Star Wars fandom likes to paint him, you know?
I would disagree because I think we're in this weird Star Wars renaissance where we're coming around and all of a sudden everything George Lucas does is gospel. But I'd also point out that, I mean, he just was such a nothing character. He was literally there for comic relief and that type of thing. And it's not, again, we cannot stress this enough. It is not Ahmed Best's fault. It's not his fault. And it's as little as his fault as it's Kelly Marie Tran's and John Boyega's fault that their characters were so shoved aside and or created to be not as good as they could have been. But what I will
Man,
say
don't get
is
me
that
started by John. Don't get me started
we
by
say
John,
this every
please.
time we bring him up
I
too.
know. Sorry. No, you know what? We'll get there. We'll get there. We have
It's
two more movies.
interesting because like there is a lot going on with him right now, especially with Ray Fisher
Man, don't get me.
doing his Ray Fisher thing over at Warner Bros. That like I think the John Boyega conversation has retracted, not retracted, but like has got some traction lately because of that. You know what I mean? And I don't want to compare the two situations because I think they are very different in terms of how they've been operating. But John Boyega's story is something that people, especially Star Wars fans, should look to, and they should look at it in accordance with how Ahmed Best was treated, because Ahmed Best, much like Kelly Marie Tran and John Boyega, were BIPOC actors in a particularly white-dominated cast. So to see that their characters are the ones that are most constantly lambasted is telling. It's telling of the fandom. And to see what's going on with some other movements going on right now, it's just it's interesting, and it as Star Wars fans, it gets hard to negotiate. So, Yeah, I don't know exactly how to explain everything that's going on in the Star Wars fandom. There's been some interesting discourse as of late that I'm sure if you're into Star Wars, you have caught on to. But we can talk about that another time if that's something we're all interested in. Particularly a particular hashtag about a certain show host and the response on Twitter and around the net that went on about that. But then we can kind of talk about like how the movie started to shape the Star Wars universe as a whole. We get introduced to a couple of things. The Jedi Council, which I think is something we take for granted because so it's dope. So ingrained in our Star Wars minds. We get the Jedi Council. We get midichlorians. We get a couple of characters that are really pretty important to us now, at least. Mostly the members of the Jedi Council. And we also get Padme, who of course will be the future mother to Luke, no matter how kind of weird it is, the age gap between her and Anakin. We get, of course, Qui-Gon Jinn. And then, I think, almost most importantly, we get Darth Maul. Darth Maul or Padme, who wasn't really anything until Dave Filoni decided he would be something. So there is a lot of introductions in this movie, but between the two of you, I just want to know, do you think this movie shapes Star Wars for the better, or do you think there could have been an alternative way? Like, do you think this is the definitive way Star Wars should have been started in terms of story?
Okay, well, for me, when it comes to the whole just prequel trilogy, I actually really enjoy the world building that it did and how it expanded. I definitely think the original trilogy is better films, but I like the world that was created in the prequel trilogy, if that makes sense. Like, I like how they expanded. Like, I think the Jedi Council is one of the coolest things, and that's kind of why I love the Clone Wars so much, because we get to see so much more than we see in the original trilogy, where it just focuses on Luke and just those guys and them dealing with Palpatine and all that. Like, I like the world that we got to see created in these first three films and how we got to see other Jedis. Like, I think the Jedi is one of the coolest thing. And the fact that when we're first introduced into the world of Star Wars, they're all basically extinct is kind of sad. It's like, well, these guys are badass. I want to see more of them. While this film definitely could have been done better, I think it definitely did it was a good groundwork, especially if you look at the stuff that came off of this, you know. We got Clone Wars off of this, and Clone Wars did a really good job of filling out a lot of the things that were addressed in that movie was called Clone Wars, wasn't it?
Attack of the Clones. Pretty close.
Attack of the Clones. It did a really good job of fleshing out the things that were addressed in Attack of the Clones. I would actually like to see another prequel series that addresses like this time period too, that's what? Covered in this movie.
Why?
I don't know. I just like to see more of the world explored. Like, I think Star Wars is so vast and beautiful, and we haven't really got to see it fully fleshed out. If I had to see anything, I wouldn't want to see more of this, obviously, if I had the option. But, like, if they did it before, I wouldn't have been mad about it. Now it's like, okay, I'm tired of this whole Skywalker saga. I want to see something.
Because I was going to say that this entire era is so saturated.
Yeah, no, now it's saturated. But, like, this to see what they created from this, like, they made Jar Jar seem cool in the Clone Wars. Like, I really enjoyed his. I really enjoyed some of his episodes. They were funny, you know. The in between the like everyone, all the Jedi's going to war. It was nice to see. You know, I feel like they did. This was a good groundwork. Could it have been better? I guess we'll never really know. But what they've done with it, I feel like it's pretty amazing. Like, I feel like they've done a really great job of what this started them off with.
No, I think Omari hits it pretty on the head. I mean, I don't sit here and praise these movies. I mean, nope, I do like Revenge of the Sith a good amount. But no, it does really lay some groundwork, and being able to, I mean, when you have Samuel L. Jackson in a movie, it's pretty damn cool. But it does lay some pretty cool groundwork, and I don't know. I do think the whole concept of the council and having the Jedi Temple and Coruscant, I do think it's all pretty cool. It's just, you know, there are some things that are like,
I forgot how irritating Mace Windu is in this movie, though.
he's a guy.
He's not very nice.
I mean, you know.
I also forgot Count Dooku wasn't a thing in this movie. I could have sworn he was in it.
Nope.
But he's like the main guy. We just get Maul. Two.
And for a while, Maul's like, just kind of like guy in hood. He's like, oh,
right,
scary.
And it's like a hint of Palpatine.
Yeah, barely. We get crumbs of Palpatine.
Also, I can't remember. Did people know he was the Emperor when that movie came out? Like, did the public know about that? I mean, I guess they probably put together the pieces considering it's the same actor. When did this movie come out again?
I don't think I was alive.
1999.
You were alive. I probably doubt it. Well, maybe. They might have had inklings. Like,
also, I'm sorry if that just made you guys feel old, whoever was listening to this, that we were all born post-99. We're little babies. We're little babies. We're a generally young podcast. Which is refreshing, because we're a brand new voice for Star Wars. Speaking of voice for Star Wars, if you want me to voice Din Djarin, I'm free. I'm free. Hit me up. You know where I am.
Start doing voice acting.
That's what I wanted. I'm in fucking school for that.
Wow. I'm gonna put you in a cartoon I want to develop. Good to know.
So, well, you have to pay me. That's
kind of the transaction. I mean, obviously, you know, we can talk. We'll talk. My people will contact you.
Like, there's a friends and family discount, I'm sure.
No, for sure.
But anyways, yeah, so this movie does lay, I think, an impressive groundwork. And I think George Lucas is an amazing world builder. That is something that he is fantastic at. You see it throughout Star Wars as well. And you see it that in the fact that he leaves so many open doors for other people to be creative in. And I think that's where his strong suit lies. If it weren't for George Lucas, we wouldn't have Dave Filoni. We wouldn't have Jon Favreau. We wouldn't have these people who are writing these amazing books about Ahsoka, about Thrawn, and about these other characters. And I mean, like, Timothy Zahn, who wrote the Thrawn trilogy, and who's writing the new Thrawn trilogy as well. I mean, he's basically built a pretty reputable sci-fi career off of writing these novels. While there are some that Lucasfilms and LucasArts and Disney are botching paying, which I would rather that not happen, it has opened the door for a lot of creatives, and to see the start of the story is interesting, because it's not A New Hope, where this is coming out in 1977, where it's like the first time you'll ever see these characters, but it does open the door to more creative purchase. And, like, I think we have a lot to thank for these 1, 2, 3 movies. That's not the website. Don't go there. That's illegal. But you look at, like, the clone troopers that get introduced in the next movie. You get the Jedi Council, like Omari said, is a very cool thing. You get the Jedi Temple, which is a very important place, even right now with Grogu. It's still an important piece of Star Wars history. So the foundations that have been built open the door for a lot of the things that are our favorite things now. And while the movie might be pretty dog shit, and I think it is, it does open the door to a lot of things. And, like, if it weren't for Episode 1, we wouldn't have, like, Plo Koon or Ki-Adi-Mundi or Kit Fisto. And I guess most of these guys actually might have been more prominently featured in Episode 2 and 3, but in dying. But you still get them. The door is still opened for them. So I think it's pretty cool that we get these characters. Now, the biggest thing to me is that there's a lot of plot holes and intricacies of the plot that don't get developed the entire way. And the Anakin scene where he's in space destroying the blockade, someone on accident, is irritating to me.
Wow, he learned how to fly a spaceship and kill everything. Wow.
And he's good at pod racing, so he must be good at spaceships.
It's like, you know, driving a car. Just translates, obviously. Right. Obviously.
It translates. Yeah. It's like riding a bike. I can kind of ride a bike, so I should be able to drive like a semi.
Yes.
Right?
Or like a motorcycle, you know.
So many people
I forgot about that.
Talk about how Rey had no official training, so she shouldn't be good at anything. Oh my god, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so many people bring that argument up. And I think they're fucking forgetting that Anakin just could fly a spaceship.
Oh, but he's the chosen one.
Oh, he's the Skywalker, he's the chosen one. He was created by the Force himself. That's such a stupid argument though. Because, like, Luke did the same thing. Oh, but he's a Skywalker. Okay, well, Rey's a Palpatine. We know that now. And no matter how what qualms you have with that, it fixes that quote-unquote plot hole that you have. It's also fucking Star Wars. So, like, just, like, either suspend your disbelief for a little bit, which I know that's something stupid to say to somebody who's passionate about it, or look at it and go, yeah, she's something special, just like everyone else in Star Wars who's good at something. Like, why can Rey fly the Millennium Falcon? Why can Luke fly an X-Wing? And shoot the port thing? Why can Anakin disable the mother droid and kill the whole frigate? Or whatever he did. I don't really recall what he did. But he spun. Let's try spinning. It is one of the dumbest arguments in Star Wars history, and I think that each movie that starts a trilogy shoots down that complaint, because all of them do something extraordinary with little to no training. And that's kind of what Star Wars is about.
The Force.
It's the Force helping you. You might be a nobody, but if you can use the Force, you can pull this out and save the day. And hey, it's sexist. I'm gonna put that smack down. People who thought that was, people who found a huge qualm with that, it might be because you're sexist. It might not be. You might be a literary critic who sees the literary issues with that. But if you call her a Mary Sue and said that it's okay that Luke and Anakin did the same thing, I might be diagnosing you with the sexist.
The sexist.
And if we had a bigger following, I'd just be dead right now.
Wow.
Like, Twitter would have killed me by now. But it's fine. I have such a hard time with the Star Wars fandom today, guys. And I think the prequels have colored... I think that has colored my view of the prequels. Quite honestly. But now that rant's done, let's talk about...
I mean, I feel like the fact that my first interaction with the Star Wars fandom was Bennett Buckles and his father. Two really great people to introduce you to the Star Wars fandom if you guys don't know. You know, because I knew of Star Wars and I watched Star Wars. But, you know, there's a difference between, like, knowing the movies and then knowing the fandom. Very different thing. Also, check out X-Wings if you haven't. And that's when I realized it's like you... It's the Star Wars fandoms is a weird thing, and it's all about love, though. Like, everybody loves it, right? And everybody just wants it to be a certain way. I think the fandoms got too big and too strong when they started making demands, and then people started listening to them. Like, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. And that's when you never give your fandom control. That's the key thing.
So if you look at the plot of the movie, which I'm still hazy on, even though I watched it, and it's not a high concept thing. It's not a very high concept movie at all. But hey, it is so slow. I forgot that this movie was like boring. It isn't very exciting. There aren't moments where I'm like gripping the edge of my seat, except for obviously the very end, which I'm sure we'll talk about just because it's, I don't know, one of the most iconic lightsaber fights of all time. But the movie is just so much more boring than I remember. I'd love to get your guys' opinions on this part. Just because it's so kind of a monotonous movie that doesn't really give you anything to work with outside of the new elements that don't really mean anything unless you're a predetermined fan who's already been a part of the series before, you know?
I'll tell you this. It was easier for me to rewatch this than it was for me to rewatch The Last Jedi.
That's kind of fair.
I'll tell you that. It was easier for me to rewatch this. Like, I was more entertained watching this than I was. I don't think it's... Was it better? I'll have to go rewatch that again. We'll see. But
I haven't rewatched it
since Exactly. This was definitely easier. It was entertaining, to say the least. You know, just the random shit going on. The story might have been iffy, but random space fish and just aliens and lightsaber fights and R2 little kids fixing just doing crazy shit.
Probably,
yeah,
you know? Incredibly improbable, the fact that he doesn't get fucking blown off that ship, but he's just like, I am Force droid. Like, R2 just, you know, R2's the boy, don't worry. Yeah, no, I don't want to rewatch either of those movies again, but, you know.
Do it for you guys.
Yeah.
How many viewers, Bennett?
We suffer.
Right now I think we're at 162 Jesus. Total, so not terrible.
We do it for y'all.
Yeah, there are a couple characters that are really interesting throughout the entire story, and I think, like we talked about before, it gives us the backdrop for the Star Wars universe. But again, to me, the story was just, it was boring, and I didn't really care about anyone, and I think that's the issue with prequels, because you kind of know who's gonna live and who's gonna die, and it kind of takes some, I don't know how you'd put this, it takes some of the excitement out of it. There are some characters that I've watched this movie probably about more than 10 times, and this first time was, you know, or this last time was getting up there. I still don't know all the characters' names, which is wild, because if anybody knows me, I know a lot about Star Wars. It might not always come across in this podcast because I am pretty bumbly because we're recording, and that's just its whole own bag of chips. But there are certain things that this movie presents to me that I just don't bother remembering because I know they're never going to be important again. Like that homie who runs around with them on Naboo and, like, flies their spaceship for them and then he dies. I don't know who that is. Who is that? No one knows. Like, and there are some, it's just like, none of these characters really, I think his name's Rick O'Lee, I just found it, his name's Rick O'Lee, he dies, and it's like, why even introduce this character? I used to have an action figure of him for whatever reason, but there's so many just wasted plot points in this movie that just don't need to be there. And I guess you could say the same thing about episode 8. This movie is very analogous to episode 8 in that fact, where they introduce a bunch of things that you're like, oh, how's this gonna go? And they're like, well, you don't get to know.
Pretty much.
Until maybe 13 years later when some guy who worked on Avatar The Last Airbender is gonna make one of the best pieces of Star Wars media ever. And then later, when some guy who worked on Iron Man will make another best piece of Star Wars literature ever.
Took me a second. I was like, what are you talking about?
I was
like,
very confused for a second. Very confused for a second.
Yeah, Filoni was a big Avatar.
Yeah, he worked on... I was like, wow, I did not know this.
He wrote for Avatar.
Did not know that.
I think he storyboarded and wrote for Avatar. I might need to check up on that.
No, that's cool.
So, yeah, Phantom Menace, interesting. Let's go for our overall numerical ratings, Omari. We'll start with you.
Well, in my mind, there is... If I had to, like... I don't really know if there's any Star Wars movie I would give a perfect 10.
Empire, maybe?
Empire? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay, so if that's a 10, right?
And then... Yeah, if that's, like, the benchmark for the best Star Wars movie, I don't necessarily agree with that. But, like, if that's what we as the fandom collective agree upon.
Yeah, if that's what fans say is, like, the best movie, and there's no real, like, one, I would give it, I would say, like, a 6.5, a 7.
Wow, that is higher than I thought.
Purely for the fact of what it does for the universe, and that's kind of what gives me
that's okay.
If I had to rate it as just a movie, probably, like, a 5.
Yeah.
Like, if I was just watching it as a movie. That's the approach I took to it. A 5, but as like what it does for the Star Wars and like all that, I give it like a 6.5 or a 7, maybe even like 7.5. Like, it's for what it is in Star Wars, I definitely give it that score.
Chuck Hammaker.
Yeah, no, I think movie wise I'd give it a 5 too, but in terms of what it provides, I'd go solid 7. I'm not gonna mess with halves. I'm just gonna go solid 7. I mean, I just, like, if I had nothing to do, okay, and I wanted to watch a Star Wars movie, this would be near the bottom of the list. It would be near the bottom of the list, probably top, bottom two, so, you know. Movie, 5 out of 10. Importance and value to series, 7.
So... Yeah. As a movie, I graded a little harsher. As a movie, I gave it a 4 out of 10 because it was boring. And I think the biggest part of a movie is it should probably entertain me, especially when it's something like Star Wars. It's just not very exciting. It's kind of funny, I will admit that. Like, I did giggle. Jar Jar is kind of funny. Like, he gets the job done, and I was pretty brain empty when I was rewatching this. And a couple of pratfalls he took, I was kind of like, yeah, okay. That's very Commedia dell'arte. That's like, it's the slapstick humor you want out of a character like him, so whatever. It got me to laugh. Good job. But, like, the rest of the movie was just so boring to me. I didn't care about it. And it was... So, yeah, 4 out of 10. I'm just repeating myself at this point. But for the Star Wars universe, I'll give it a 6. I mean, I think it does set up a lot of things, but not enough that I would really be aching to watch it if I wanted to do a Star Wars rewatch, which kind of made me start thinking, hey, why are we even doing this? But we're going to press on because we've started. We gotta watch the arguably my least favorite Star Wars movie next week.
Least favorite?
What? Really? Yeah, I hate Attack of the Clones, dude.
Bro, I hate Episode 8. I'm sorry.
I
get to see Jango Fett get his head chopped off, though.
You get to see Jango Fett for the first time ever, and you get to see him for the last time ever. But
I mean, at least he had some cool scenes. It wasn't like
he had some cool.
It
scenes.
Wasn't like Boba in. Revenge. I'm gonna call it Revenge because I like that better than Return. And Revenge of the Jedi, when we just see him get fucking bumped into, and he's like, oh, into the, he get Jango Fett got a I can't say death because we know he's not dead. Jango Fett got a better introduction, and the fight scene in the arena is kind of cool when you get all the Jedi drop into the fucking arena.
Right, but when you watch it, you'll remember the plot, and the plot is so dumb.
Now I'm remembering bits and pieces of it.
Just about how much delegating Palpatine did, and how the assassination plot doesn't really make sense, and
not
how
just
Count
the
Dooku's
women.
Kind of...
Oh,
Count
not
Dooku's
just the
kind
men,
of nothing.
But the women and the children,
and then
too.
There's the... Yeah, there's that scene, which is just like Anakin commits genocide.
Anakin committed genocide. I guess I will marry him.
The marriage scene is so creepy.
Oh, you're right.
With the fucking sand.
And
so
the weird.
That's some stuff to look forward to next week.
The weird levitating apple
or two
at
weeks.
The table.
And then there's that deleted scene where he has like dinner with their family, which was actually a compelling scene, but they cut it. Because George Lucas doesn't like to have human moments in his film.
Oh, take it out.
George Lucas is a weirdo director. I'll put that out there. He shouldn't be a director. He should write his films and maybe co-direct. Because I just don't think he's a good director. He knows how to make movies, according to an interview with Charlie Rose, who isn't a good person. But he hasn't done it well for a while. Do you guys remember he released that, like, Pixar film?
No.
In, like, 2010?
What is what?
Like, called, like, Magical Beasts or something.
Oh.
It was so
Was that
bad.
Him?
Yeah, that was George Lucas. It was good
Hold
old
on,
GM.
George.
In his first original intellectual property since Star Wars. George Lucas Pixar film. What was it called? Not Pixar film. It was like a Disney film, I guess. Oh, God. What was it called?
Are you sure?
Why is no one giving it to me?
I can't find anything here.
I can't find it either, but I know it's real, you guys.
I think Bennett's been...
I'm not lying. I'm
he's
not
been
lying,
too
I
into
swear.
His Pedro Pascal impersonation. He's lost it.
Strange Magic.
Nope.
Came out in 2015, the same
Strange
year as Star Wars.
Magic.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, because I remember they kept showing trailers for it in like
what
things leading up to Star
this?
Wars.
Damn, I got a 16%.
Dude, it's so bad.
Well, they can't all be masterpieces.
Yeah, and George Lucas missed on more than he hit on in his later years, I would say. Like Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Do you remember that shit? That was bad, you guys.
I don't remember that. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's good that I don't.
But you like, I mean, I don't know. You just look at episode one. He was producer, director, or I guess he was director, writer, and screenplay writer. So he had full creative control of the series. And I think it starts to show in that some of the things just don't work. So let's talk about the fact that there is this resurgence of prequel lovers who love the prequel so much and judge people for not liking the prequels. Is this movie even good? Does it deserve this resurgence?
I think you got to show respect. You know how, like, you got to respect the people that come before you, and you got to respect it for, like, what I was saying earlier, the role that it has in building the wonderful world of Star Wars that we have now. Sure. It definitely has a big role in that. So I don't think it's, like, you... I think it's not that people get mad that you don't like it, but, like, you at least got to show it the respect that it deserves. You know? I'm trying to think of a good analogy. You know, you're at...
I think if you want to go Seahawks, it's like, thanks Matt Hasselbeck for existing and being on our team. And,
yes, you know, who was the quarterback that came before Patrick Mahomes?
Alex Smith.
Yes, you got to, like, you got to respect Alex Smith for what he did.
Yeah, but
for
Alex Smith also went to Super Bowls.
Oh, wait, I Super guess, Bowl. No, he hey, now
he went to one.
Let's Super not give him Bowl. Too much credit.
He went to
I
one,
too. Also went to...
I feel like it's part that and part, like, nostalgia for some people, where they're like, oh, I grew up with this movie. Very good. See, and then I'm gonna... I don't know how this is gonna be received in this amongst my hosts here, but I think that's a lot why people like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, like that.
Okay. Yeah, you gotta respect Tobey Maguire. See, I get that, like, Tobey Maguire is Jesus, and I will not accept anything else. I'm like, okay.
I was literally talking about this earlier today.
Because, like, it doesn't...
I was talking about this earlier today.
Because people get Tobey mad Maguire. At me, because I don't have a problem with Tom Holland. I'm not gonna sit here and praise him, but I have no problem with him. And...
he's cool.
You know, he's cool. It's like... I mean, Stan Lee even said he fits what a normal Spider... Like, when I see Tobey Maguire, even back in that film, never have I thought he looked like a teenager. I was like, this guy is at least 28. Yeah, I was like, this guy's probably, like, having a midlife crisis at some point here, and you're telling me that he's going to be slinging around and fighting bad guys and saying pizza time? It's got to be a nostalgia thing where people are really attached to what they were brought up with, and it's a positive childhood memory. To some extent, and that's got to be it, because I think it's a combination of those what Omari said, and then there are bits and pieces of the prequels, like Revenge of the Sith, for a decent amount I don't have problems with. Obviously the lightsaber scene on Mustafar is great, but there's some stuff where it's like, woo, you know, not too bad, but, you know, For the majority of it, I'm not, like, probably for the next two movies, I wouldn't rate them higher than, okay, for Attack of the Clones, at least, I probably wouldn't rate it higher than 8. I know that, you know, so they're not, like, incredible movies, but as Omari was saying before I rudely interrupted him, they've got some value to building up what we know as a greater universe here.
Yeah, I have such a weird issue with, like, oh, you gotta respect them. Why?
I don't know about respect, necessarily.
Like, well, like, what? Why do I have to pay them mind, and why do I have to, like, pretend like they were even good?
You don't gotta pretend like they're good, you just gotta acknowledge that they did something for the Star Wars universe that we have today. Like, we wouldn't have a lot of the stuff that we have today if it wasn't for them. So they might be terrible and shitty.
Like, it was a bad movie.
No, yes, it's a terrible movie.
No,
it's a
good, but yes.
No one's saying it wasn't a terrible movie, but I'm saying, you know, even though it was a terrible movie, it did a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff came from it.
Sure. I think the came from it's important. I don't know about it doing a ton of good stuff. I think the came from it.
Yeah, like, a lot of good stuff came from this movie. Yeah. And I think that's the key.
Should we make a delegation choice right now? Are we going to watch Clone Wars the movie in this prequel rewatch? That's technically a prequel movie.
I mean, I think I'll enjoy it more than some of the other prequel movies.
Some of the others, there's three of them only, and we've watched...
That might, pound for pound, be the worst Star Wars movie ever.
I don't know about that.
What?
I don't know about that.
It is up there with, like...
After this, we need to have... All three of us need to have rankings. I need to sit down and rank
my movies. Well, yeah, we can do a rankings. We can do a rankings, but I think we should release rankings.
No, not at the end, because that implies we're going to watch all of them.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Shouldn't we at some point, though? We're a Star Wars podcast. We should probably do episodes on that.
I have a bad. Do we need to go through the wasted potential of Finn again? Do we need to? Do we really need to?
Well, yeah. I think we should do a video essay. We should do a podcast.
I think Omari
headline. Where Omari gets to write his own script, yep. And he just gets to pop off for 20 minutes. And then.
Bro, it's just so...
He has words, and we need to let them come out.
Let him speak!
No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's not fine, Omari. It's okay.
It's not fine. It's one of the biggest fumbles of the Star Wars universe.
Bro, and it's just not something you can retcon or like redo. It's just there.
Yeah, no, it can't be redone. We're too deep in. We're too far.
We're too deep in. You can't undo this. Yeah. Like, how do you fix this?
I like how the Lego video game is trying to fix it too.
Bro, that shit fucking disgusts me. Fucking disgusts me. That's what he gets. He gets some justice in a Lego. Really? Really? Are you fucking kidding?
Let me calm down.
It's late. I'm yelling.
Because we are technically talking about Phantom Menace right now.
That's whatever.
I was going to talk about this anyways. Because we said we were going to talk about it earlier in the episode too. The best part of this film is the ending. And not like in the joking way where we're like, haha, God, glad that's over. But like, the Duel of the Fates is very much so the precursor to how we understand lightsaber battles as we know them today. And what an absolute amazing introduction, and I've been shitting on this movie for about 40 minutes now, but what an absolutely amazing introduction to the choreography of Star Wars. And I will say that I got in quite the heated Instagram discussion with some dude in the comments about how he was like, the original trilogy Star Wars lightsaber battles sucked, and the prequels were better movies, which was interesting. But what an amazing introduction to Star Wars lightsaber battles. And I will say that the rest of the prequels fights weren't that great until the Duel of Heroes, which was corny but like fun to watch visually. And then Obi-Wan versus Grievous is Anakin versus Obi-Wan versus Dooku is another great one in episode 3 when they actually beat him. But this is so special to me because this is one of the first lightsaber battles that I ever watched that made me want to learn how to do that type of thing. And then I started to take professional like fencing classes and got really into that type of thing, and like have been lucky enough to learn fight choreography for theater later on in life as well. In a play where everyone got to sword fight but me. I am a little hurt by that. Wait, she kills monsters as a one character who didn't get to kill monsters. I just got to watch.
It's okay.
I know. Okay. But Star Wars is just it's a highly influential thing.
It's kind of lame now.
It got a lot of people into that type of thing. There's been entire organizations where people will practice lightsaber fighting. And basically stage choreograph their own lightsaber battles in the same style as that. I gotta look up who did the choreography for that film. But it's such an influential piece of Star Wars media that I think almost gets overlooked because of how bad the rest of the movie was. And if you think about the direct line it has to fights like Moff Gideon versus Din in The Mandalorian, if we followed how it was in episode 4, 5, and 6, it would have been a much more boring fight, you know? Because while the lightsaber fights in 4, 5, and 6 were still powerful and actually visually stunning and visually choreographed spectacularly in an actual French-Japanese fencing style, they don't really compare to some of the stuff we're seeing today. And I think that The Phantom Menace is a bridge between that gap of quality. And I'm not backing down and saying that the original trilogy lightsaber fights were better or worse than The Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith. I'm just leaving out Attack of the Clones because nothing in that movie makes me happy. Except for the Clone Trooper introduction, because that opened the door to everything, which we'll talk about eventually. But it's just that the modern way we look at lightsabers was highly shaped by this movie. So that's my end piece on that. I think that's, to me, one of the most important things that came out of this film. Do you guys, I mean, like, How does that one rank on your favorite lightsaber battles? And this is maybe a conversation for a different time. I just want to get the general opinion on this Duel of the Fates.
I don't recall enough lightsaber battles off the top of my head right now to answer that.
Oh boy, I can list a couple of them. I mean, we got Obi-Wan versus Vader. We got Luke versus Vader in episode 5. We got Luke versus Vader again in episode 6. And then... that was really those ones.
Rey versus Kylo in episode 9. So fucking disgusting. God.
That didn't happen in episode 9. Oh, yeah. It did.
They were in the water and they were just like swinging around like they had baseball bats, aluminum baseball bats.
Then they got...
Boing, boing, boing.
In the original, in the prequel trilogy, I don't know what else.
We got. I think that Duel of the Fates, you covered the original Qui-Gon. Trilogy.
In the prequel trilogy, it's what Qui-Gon versus Maul the first time, yeah. The Duel of the Fates, and then in episode 2, I get a little slippery.
I know
here.
They had a Dooku one.
Yeah, they had Dooku versus Anakin versus Obi-Wan.
And then Yoda for part of it.
And then Yoda for a little.
Yeah, for a little bit, and then he runs away.
And that's at the very end of the movie. There's Obi-Wan versus Jango for like a hot second.
But that's not a lightsaber fight.
It's not a lightsaber fight.
It's just lightsaber versus blaster.
Which is tight, because Jango Fett makes it out alive.
Yeah.
And then in episode 3, there's...
Grievous and Obi-Wan.
Because this isn't the episode, but...
There's
Grievous, Obi-Wan. Whatever.
To get back to the point, I would say that it would be on like... If we were to take them all... And, like, split them down the middle, if, I don't know, if it's an even number. I'd say it'd be on the top half. I don't think it's, okay. You know. I mean, if we, like, take the first, like, if we go by, like, actual time when they came out, you know, and we go by episode 3, I'm sorry, but that, like, Obi-Wan Vader, that's just so terrible. It was just so, like, I don't know, it seemed really frail, you know.
Oh, in episode 4?
Episode 4, duh.
Yeah.
Sorry. Wrong one.
What they had to work with?
Well, yeah. I mean, but obviously it's going to grow, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm not going to rate that one like anywhere near the top. Well, yeah, at the time, everybody was probably like, whoa, lasers that you can use as swords, dude? Shit. Oh, they didn't talk
That's
like
why
that.
It's kind of hard to rate these.
Yeah.
You can't really rate that.
But, like, if we have to, fair. And we take them all in consideration, I'd have to say the Duel of the Fates has to be up on the more positive half. I wouldn't say it's, like, in top 3, because I can't put a number on
like
it right now.
If they redid it, though, that would probably be one of the best fights in Star Wars history.
Meaning
at those moments.
There's a promise of that.
Greatest rematch. Or...
According to good old
Kathleen Kennedy.
Double K. Is her name Kathleen with a K?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
Wow, that's not nice.
No, it's just that it doesn't matter because this is an audio format, so I don't need to know how to spell her name. Anyways, we're coming to the end of our time here, folks. Amari, hit us with that sweet, sweet outro.
And this has been another episode of I Have a Bad Feeling About This. I'm your host, Amari Salisbury, here with
Charles Hammaker.
And I'm Bennett Buckles. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yahoo!